Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
And it shoots and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
San Jose's got to get Eklund off the ice. He's still bent over right in front of his own goaltender after blocking that shot. Here's Haskinen behind the net. Feeds near side Stankoven. Stankoven feeds to the middle. It's Hintz just on the ice. Shoot, score! So Roope Hintz wins it in overtime for the Dallas Stars, and William Eklund still bent over, crumpling to the ice, and he is being consoled by Kaapo Kähkönen after he blocked the shot and could not get off the ice surface. And at 1 minute and 49 seconds of OT, Roope Hintz comes up with a game winner, and Dallas gets the victory 7-6.
You're up 6-3, you're playing good hockey, staying above it, not giving them much, and you turn over the neutral zone and floodgates open. You could just feel it, you know, the way that goal happened. It looked like nothing was going to happen. I really liked what we did after we got up 6-3. We were just staying above them and playing a good, smart third period, and then that one mistake ends up in the back of our net, and you could just feel the uh-oh feeling on the bench. And you know, the face-off goal, the tire was really a kick in the ass because we had coverage and just puck watched. So, but you know, that's it's frustrating.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How are we all doing? I don't know if that was the worst loss of the year, because I think that the 10-2, 10-1 losses back-to-back versus Vancouver and Pittsburgh, or I look at the loss in Seattle where they lost, 7-1, 7-2, and just some other games have been worse, you know, just in terms of just their overall quality of play. Last night's game, though, probably the most painful of the year. It is difficult to score 6 goals in a game and lose. And it is even more difficult to have a 3-goal lead when scoring 6 in the third period and not holding on for a win. I mean, those two things together, I don't know how many times they've happened. I'm sure the Sharks are not the first, obviously. And I can remember in the top of my head a game, a couple years ago with Bob Bugner where they scored, I believe, 6 or 7 goals and ended up losing. But the fact of the matter is that's a painful way to lose. I mean, no other way to talk about it but pain. Like, you were up 6-3 and you let the game get away. And granted, I'm not trying to take anything away from Dallas. Dallas is a good team, one of the best in the NHL right now, Stanley Cup contender, no doubt about it. But that is an absolutely awful way to lose a game. I mean, there is just no other way to really try and classify it, because they were up, again, 6-3. And just watched everything be taken away from them. And this is a game in which they had a 2-0 lead and couldn't hold on to it. And it's a game in which they had a 6-3 lead and couldn't hold on to it. They had a 2-goal lead and a 3-goal lead. And I really would like to know how many times the team this season alone has had 2 multi-goal leads of a 2-goal and a 3-goal while scoring 6 goals overall and having it not be enough. And there's just some things throughout this game that ultimately rear its head time and time again. The Sharks are up early off goals from Duclair and Zetterlin, 2-0. And then at 18:38 and then at 19:27, that is 49 seconds apart, they give up a pair of goals. And we've talked about this a lot lately, about the Sharks giving up too many goals and bang-bang plays. In fact, the only time they haven't done it as of late was in the game at Dallas, I believe. But that's what the Sharks are dealing with right now. They have these lapses where they are just not nearly good enough for a minute's time. And they give up 2 goals 49 seconds apart. And then you get into the third period, they gave up 2 goals 43 seconds apart. And then 2 minutes and 44 seconds apart separated their fourth, fifth, and sixth goals from Dallas. And then obviously at that point, all the air had been sucked out of the building and there was nothing that the Sharks were going to do. And over time, in my opinion, I felt that once they had given up the game tying goal, that was it. I didn't think the Sharks were going to be able to rebound from that. I hoped that they would. And then unfortunately, William Eklund, he got the shot block and he was hobbled out there on the ice. William Eklund, I don't think we've ever seen him show pain like that out on the ice before. I am genuinely concerned for him and I hope that he's okay today. I hope that it was just something that hit him in the wrong place at the wrong time. But man, that was a bad night for the San Jose Sharks. And I usually try to stay pretty positive here. And, you know, I obviously know where the team is right now and what they've been going through and what they've been doing. But listen, the guys after the game were not despondent, but there was a lot of anger and there was a lot of pain. Anthony Duclair didn't make eye contact the entire time. And Anthony Duclair has spoken after some tough losses this year. And he usually is at least looked up. But he just seemed at a loss. And Kaapo Kähkönen, who I know that he wants a couple back after last night's game, even though that, you know, he was not the main problem. He was one of the issues the Sharks had because everybody was an issue in last night's game. You know, he's usually a pretty good talker and will give some pretty extended, lengthy answers. You could tell that he was pretty ticked off. Just everybody. You could tell from, you know, top to bottom, everybody was pretty furious after that game last night. Fabian Zetterlund, he seemed completely at a loss. And I'm sure that those guys are at a loss. I mean, David Quinn was, you know, actually in not a terrible mood. He seemed a little bit perturbed, but he wasn't hot. He wasn't angry. He wasn't going to come out there and, you know, drop, you know, some of the more entertaining moments that he's had of the year. He was just kind of amazed, I think, that they had not been able to hold on to that game. And it is something. I will acknowledge that when you can't hold on to 2-0 lead, 6-3 lead, and you end up losing that game in which you're up 6-3 at home, that's tough. That's a rough one, and I would hope that the Sharks can forget about that one because, listen, they have lost now 8 in a row, or they've gone 8 winless, I should say, because they had the overtime loss in Dallas on Saturday, and, you know, you start to feel that double-digit losing streak start to loom. The Islanders are playing better. Ottawa is a game to me that they need to be able to win if they don't want this to start to get out of hand, because you have the Islanders who are playing better under Patrick Waugh, then again Ottawa, and then you're out on the road against Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Chicago, and Nashville. And not that that's a murderer's row per se, although Nashville finally lost last night and had their win streak come to a close. You know, Philadelphia is still a pretty good team. Pittsburgh is fighting for their playoff lives. Columbus, they're not good, but they beat the Sharks earlier this year already. Chicago, you know, you feel that that's one you should be able to win, even though they're at home in this one. That's going to be tough. And Nashville, the way they've been playing. And you're back home against Tampa, of all teams, who's trying to get in a better situation for the playoffs. Then you host Chicago. Then you host Dallas again. Then you're at Minnesota. And then you're at the Wild for the end of March. And I'm not saying the Sharks are going to go all that way without getting a win, because that would be a 20-game losing streak, and I don't think the Sharks have that in them. But at the same time, you do recognize that the schedule is not easier. You've got two more at home, and then 5 out of the next 8 are on the road, and then 7 out of 10 overall are on the road. But at least I have a new measuring stick for this Sharks team. The one I had pointed to previously and quite consistently was when they were up 4-2 with 5 minutes left against Anaheim a couple years ago, and they let it slip away and ended up losing 5-4 in overtime, I believe, in a shootout. This one is different. This one feels different. This one is more painful. At the 13-minute mark of the period, you are up by 3 goals. That's the type of thing that nightmares are made of. And, you know, the thing that bothers me the most out of this is, like, I wish I could say that the Sharks just had some awful effort, or they just had some awful level of play, and like it wasn't like they had actually played a good game, and I don't think they were awful towards the end, but at critical moments they were not nearly good enough. They just, you know, allowed themselves to be too easily broken down, gave up too much space on the ice, didn't have bodies in the right places, didn't disrupt what Dallas was trying to do, and then it got away from them. I mean, that's the only thing that you can try and justify in your head, is just thinking that, okay, Dallas, you know, they're a better team. And I totally understand that Dallas is a better team, but man, that's a rough one. And I hope that the Sharks are able to quickly forget about it. I hope that they are able to move on. I hope that they are able to come back with a much better effort on Thursday night against the Islanders. And I hope that it's something that they can forget ever happened, because I don't think there's anything to be gleaned by focusing on that one. I think you forget it, you move on, you're on to the next, and you go from there. All right, let's get a little bit into the highlights out of last night's game. It was the Duke getting things going early for San Jose.
And it comes loose behind the net, grabbed by Duclair. Granlund gets his pass. He exchanges with Addison. Flips it cross ice. Eklund tips it away from Johnston. Throws behind the net. Centering feed. Score! Anthony Duclair getting the pass from behind the net from Fabian Zetterlund. And a beautiful finish. The Sharks score on the power play. They lead 1-0.
Good momentum early on for San Jose. And they would extend it to a 2-0 lead. Fabian Zetterlund getting in on the scoring.
Sharks pick it back up. Maybe they're going to get another chance. Here comes Duclair with speed across the line. 2-on-1. He's got a man wide open in front. Zetterlund shoots. Score! Fabian Zetterlund gets his 16th of the year on a brilliant 2-on-1 execution. Beautiful turnaround pass by Duclair. And the Duclair connection to Zetterlund is flying tonight. It's 2-0 Sharks.
But at this point, Dallas would wake up down 2-0. And it seemed like they would have a tough time getting back into it, but unfortunately for the Sharks, in the final minute and 40 seconds of the first period, they found their way back into it. 18:38, a goal from Jamie Benn makes it 2-1. 19:27, just 49 seconds later, Logan Stankoven makes it 2-2. And then after one, the Sharks are level, not able to hold on to that 2-0 lead. Shades of what we saw on Sunday when they could not hold on to that 2-0 lead against Minnesota. Early in the second, it was Ryan Carpenter giving the Sharks a 3-2 lead.
And Bailey uses the speed to bank it off the boards and chase it down himself into the offensive zone. It's off his skate, Sturm to the point. Lassick the shot, that needed to get through, a shot, score! Carpenter's in the slot, took the weird bounce. After that first shot by Vlasic got blocked, it popped right back to the center iceman, and he deposits it into the back of the net. 4:39, the time of this goal, and the San Jose Sharks take the 3-2 lead.
And again, it's the story of game management for the San Jose Sharks. What happens after they score those goals? What happens after they take the lead? Well, Dallas kept on reinserting themselves into the game, and then it was the first of three from Wyatt Johnston to make it a 3-3 game. Then Anthony Duclair, 15:48 of the second, comes through with his second goal of the night to make it a 4-3 lead.
Duclair to the point. Addison, stick handles to the right. Behind the back pass, near side to Granlund. Granlund down low. Zetterlund back to Granlund, near side. Duclair's in front of the net, trying to play bad goalie. Here's Granlund. Now Zetterlund turning, trying to feed it over to Duclair. Poked at the puck. Score! Anthony Duclair jams it in. The Sharks score on the power play with 4:12 left in the second period. And it's goal number 16 on the season for Duclair. His second power play goal of the game. Sharks 4, Stars 3.
I mean, this was a wildly entertaining game, right? You've already got 7 goals scored there by the 15:48 mark of the second period. And then the Sharks were able to add on from there, making it a 5-3 lead. Filip Zadina, who's been playing much, much better hockey as of late, finds the back of the net to make it 5-3.
Time for a line change here. Vlasic headmans to Hoffman. He's on the left side across the line. Hoffman and Addison playing catch with it. Addison whirling from down low, goes back far side. Hoffman, angle shot in front, score! Filip Zadina in front, the pass from Hoffman. Some nifty work by this Sharks line. And at 17:50 of the second period, the score is 5-3 Sharks.
5-3, you're feeling good going into that second intermission. The Sharks were able to respond from Dallas coming back to tie it at 2 after they were up 2-0. They were up 4-3, then Dallas came back to tie it again. Now they're up 5-3, and then early in the third period, you get Mikhail Granlund with a well-earned goal.
Right now the Sharks steal it. Granlund in front, shoot, score! The Stars turn over the puck behind their own goal line. Duclair poked it in front, and Granlund with that quick flick of the stick put it up top, and San Jose's got a 6-3 lead in the third period.
And that's what's incredible about this one, is you think you are in front of a game, you make it 6-3, 3:02 of the third. It feels like it should be out of reach. Unfortunately, it was not. At 12:58, Dallas, by way of Logan Stankoven, came back, making it 6-4. Then 43 seconds later, Wyatt Johnston with his second of a hat trick on the night. That makes it 6-5. And then 2 minutes and 1 second after that, Wyatt Johnston gets his third for the hat trick, which takes us into overtime.
San Jose's got to get Eklund off the ice. He's still bent over right in front of his own goaltender after blocking that shot. Here's Haskinen behind the net. Feeds near side Stankoven. Stankoven feeds to the middle. It's Hintz just on the ice. Shoot, score! So Roope Hintz wins it in overtime for the Dallas Stars, and William Eklund still bent over, crumpling to the ice, and he is being consoled by Kaapo Kähkönen after he blocked the shot and could not get off the ice surface. And at 1 minute and 49 seconds of OT, Roope Hintz comes up with a game winner, and Dallas gets the victory 7-6.
Just a brutal ending for San Jose, falling by a final of 7-6 to Dallas. I, again, hope that they are able to forget this, move on, get ready for the Islanders on Thursday night, because there's no point in dwelling on the negative. Now, the Sharks did get a point last night out of this one. So with Chicago also getting the win, I believe they are tied now in points. If we take a look at the win percentage, though, we will still see that Chicago at 294 is back of where San Jose is at 303. But right now, it's a two-way race to have the most balls in the hopper for the upcoming number one overall pick. Obviously, you don't know if you'll get the number one pick, but the Sharks and the Blackhawks are the front runners at this point. All right, on the other side, we're going to get into some post-game reaction and more. That's all coming up on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog, because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Now Pavelski left corner, back to Haskinen, now to the point on the right, that's Robertson, to Haskinen left side, to Hintz down low, Pavelski takes the pass, checked there by Addison. Addison coming close to taking a penalty, Pavelski works it free, throws it in front, point blank chance by Robertson. That's Kaapo Kähkönen's best save of the night so far at 9:48 of the second period, keeping it 3-3.
How would you assess Kaapo's play tonight?
Just okay.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light here on the Sharks Audio Network. A Wednesday morning after a painful, arguably the most painful loss of the year, falling to the Stars 7-6 in overtime. That was David Quinn talking about Kaapo Kähkönen coming back in. He saw 40 shots last night, 33 saves, an .825 save percentage. Some of them you can't hold against him, like the power play goals, and I think that there was one that was screened. So the first three goals, I felt like Kaapo did not have a great chance to make a stop, but there were others where he could have. There were others where he wasn't put in a great position. He was not the problem in the game. He was one of many problems for the San Jose Sharks over the course of the game. And yeah, when you give up a 6-3 lead with under 8 minutes remaining in the third period, there are going to be a lot of things to try and figure out. I mean, you just look at the stats. You had Anthony Duclair with a 4-point night, Zetterlund a 3-point night, Granlund a 2-point night, Vlasic, Hoffman, Carpenter, Ruda, Zadina, Addison, Sturm, Eklund all had points in this game. I mean, that is remarkable that you can have that many guys getting points, that you can have that many guys getting 2, 3, 4 points, that you can have what seems like that high quality of an offensive night and not walk away with the win. That is going to be one of the more memorable losses this year for the San Jose Sharks. For us, I would just hope that for their sakes, they're able to forget about it and move on, because there's nothing positive to derive of that, right? Like, there's nothing that they're going to take away and figure out, oh, that's where we can turn this all around. Like, no, we know this was going to be a long season. We know everything that was going to happen to the extent that they were not going to win a lot of games. But just a loss like that last night, that's a hard one, I think, for players, fans, coaches, everybody to wrap their head around.
Listen, there's not much to say, you know, just play the 3-on-3 the way we want to, and unfortunately Ekki blocks a shot and he's on one leg, and inevitably, you know, they had shots and chances, he couldn't move and ends up in the back of my net. That's just the way it's gone, right?
That's Quinn on the mindset going into overtime, and he did say that he did not have an update on Eklund. Hopefully we will know more today. The Sharks are practicing at noon, and we'll get a better idea of where they are overall. But yeah, I mean, that was a tough way to lose it. More from Quinn, talking about their inability to close out games and still learning how to do so.
I mean, I thought we showed for about, you know, 8-9 minutes that we knew how to close a game. That was what's kind of frustrating, because I thought, you know, we just rolled over lines and we were getting it behind them and, you know, taking chances and playing a winning brand of hockey. And then, you know, that one play that looks so harmless ends up in the back of our net. And, you know, but obviously you'd love to have those guys with the experience they have, and that would help, but we don't. And, you know, these guys have, you know, the opportunity to step up.
And it's tough because you felt like for so much of the game, the Sharks did repeatedly step up. They were up 2-0. They gave themselves breathing room early on. Dallas comes storming back into the game. They get a goal to make it 3-2. Dallas responds. It's 3-3. The Sharks get a goal to make it 4-3. And then 5-3. They respond time and time again. Then they open up the third period with a 6-3 lead. They have the ability to close it out. You think it's right there. And then suddenly it disappeared. It vanished before their eyes.
I don't know if they made a run as much as we gave them. I mean, you saw the fourth goal. I mean, that was a gift of all gifts. And then they got life. That's what happened. So I don't ever want to take anything away from the opponent. They're good. They're really good. They can win the Stanley Cup. But tonight, I thought, you know, we had kind of – didn't have their A game, and I thought we took advantage of it, and it looked like it was going to be a night for us, and then we handed it to them, the fourth goal. And then the whole they got life and we got dejected, and that's kind of how it unfolded.
And earlier in the game, it felt like the Sharks were at times playing that downhill style of hockey, that even though the Dallas was getting more shots off, it felt like the Sharks were doing more to get things going in their direction, that they were doing more to give themselves an opportunity to win. And you felt like they were doing so many things the right way. I mean, that's the incredible placement of the two styles of hockey in this game. Is one, you see winning hockey. You're up 6-3 at home. That's winning hockey. And then suddenly it's 6-6 going to overtime, and then you're losing 7-6. I mean, that is an incredible juxtaposition, and one of the things that you just never imagine you're going to see on any given night. Now, I will say that when it was 5-3, I was thinking to myself, okay, Dallas still has a chance in this one. You make it 6-3 early in the third, that feels like it's a game that you're out of. But, you know, the Sharks in New York earlier this year, when they were down 6-3 to the Rangers, they came storming back and lost by a final of 6-5. That was one of those games where you saw that if you give a team a little bit of breathing room, they can punish you for it. You get a little bit comfortable. A 3-goal lead feels pretty secure until suddenly that 3-goal lead is down to a 2-goal lead, is down to a 1-goal lead, is now tied up. And the difference between the Sharks in this game and Dallas, or the Sharks in that game and Dallas in this game, is the Sharks didn't have enough time to complete their comeback, whereas Dallas did. Dallas, you know, with enough time, over 5 minutes remaining, close to the 8-minute mark, they had enough time to get themselves back into the game, and the Sharks didn't when they were in Madison Square Garden, and we can see the results out of this one. Kaapo Kähkönen, after the game, giving his thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, they got some life, and you know, they start pushing. Like, it's pretty obvious they're down, and they're team trying to win their division. They're not just gonna give up. They're gonna play the full 60 minutes, and obviously they have players that can score goals, and yeah, we couldn't get the job done.
Kaapo also had a thought about how Dallas was playing it off the end boards to try and create things back up through the middle, which was something it seemed like they were doing. I don't know that you could call it a play per se, but it was working.
Livelier, or then they just, I don't know, they shut the puck off of it. I don't know. I don't know if they were trying to do that or if they just missed the net, and yeah, it just bounced to the other side. It's hard when, you know, the puck goes behind the net. You have to try to find it first. Obviously, you can't just start going somewhere because, you know, you don't know where it's going. And then people obviously facing the net see it right away. Yeah, those are tough.
Everyone after the game was pretty much confirming that it was the most painful loss of the year. Kaapo's thoughts?
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, it's brutal. I don't know, there's no words for it, really. It's a game we should win and build some some positive momentum off of that, and obviously we came up short. So
pain, just a lot of pain out of this one. There is no other way to really describe it. And again, these are learning experiences. You hope that for the future of the San Jose Sharks, the guys like William Eklund and Fabian Zetterlund will learn from these type of games, will understand what game management is and how they need to do a better job collectively as a group to handle those situations where things are getting away, to calm things down. It is a bit of a wonder, as you don't expect a 6-3 lead to evaporate and lead to a 7-6 loss, but the down times teach the younger players about what it takes for the good times, and that's what ultimately the Sharks have to have as a takeaway from this one. It's not about the loss in and of itself. It's about what they can do to not replicate these mistakes, these lapses, these overall downturns in play that lead them to losses in games that they otherwise should have won, because last night is a game that I think we can all feel that they should have won. Before we run out of time, I wanted to give you a little bit more of the interview I did with Owen Newkirk yesterday, where I asked him about Joe Pavelski and if he was just ever going to slow down, because Pavelski still, 21 goals, 30 assists on the season, still a big part of why Dallas is so successful.
I think that with Joe, because it's more than a decade there and it was where he came up in the league, it's always going to be particularly special. It will be for DeBoer too, but you know, he and Steve Spott weren't there for half the time that Joe Pavelski was.
Yeah.
And so that means a massive difference. Now, on the other side of it, the Pavelski clan came of age, became a superstar, and probably cemented his Hall of Fame status by playing with the Sharks. Then he came to Dallas and showed, maybe erased any doubts of it, but of course that's going to mean a lot. I thought it was interesting to hear when we were talking on Saturday, when the Sharks were in town, how few players from when Pete was the head coach are still there. He said it was, I think, three or four guys that he had, and the roster's really turned over. And that's not even been that long. Now, I know there was another stop in between there, but that's maybe the sign of the way things go in the NHL. And if you think about it, I'm sure Pavelski doesn't have that many former teammates anymore either. So a lot of turnover, a lot of changes, but I'm sure they still feel very much like this is a homecoming for them.
Is Pavs ever going to slow down? I mean, it feels like he could score between 25 and 40 goals for quite some time for the rest of his career. I just feel like you can put him for at least right now, somewhere between 20 and 30. And I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
No, and it's crazy because he just seems to do, like, he's not a fast player, but he really never has been. He's just incredibly positionally smart. He reads the game as high a level as anybody. He has obviously that innate sense of where to be around the net, and then the ability to deflect pucks. But Pavelski does so much more than just go to the front of the net and tip pucks in for goals, which is great. But, he was the one on the Jason Robertson goal Saturday night that created the turnover, because, Roope Hintz drove the puck in down the left side, got it in deep. It was rimmed around, and it was Pavelski that raced across the right side and forced a turnover, and then Robertson skated in and scored. And yeah, he got an assist for it, but those are the kind of things that people don't talk about enough with Pavelski. It's the either the positional play or the away from the goal being scored that really, he's tenacious on the forecheck. He plays as hard as ever. And there have been a couple of times this year, and I hate to say this to people that are huge Sharks fans, where I've started to wonder, are we seeing a little bit of a slowdown even for his standards? But then he comes back and looks great again. So I would never count him out, because I think that he's proven everybody wrong. I do wonder, though, Ted, if the Stars were lucky enough to win a Stanley Cup this year, would that be it? Because I know you have to love going to the rink and grinding every day to be able to do it at this age, because it's not for money. Obviously, he still gets paid handsomely. Well, I would take Joe Pavelski's salary in a heartbeat, but he's made enough in his career. He's fine. They're going to be able to put food on the table. But you have to love the grind. You have to love going on the road trip all the time. The Stars had four straight weeks of games in a different building every single game after the All-Star break. It's been grueling. But if you win a cup, might just satisfy that. I don't know. This is only me speculating. We wondered about it with Ryan Suter as well. Is it to the point where he still has another year left? Does Pavelski want another kick at it? A lot will depend on how Dallas does here in the spring.
Again, if you want to hear my entire conversation with Owen Newkirk yesterday on the build-up, check out the build-up game at 61 versus Dallas. We're all out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.